Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast will definitely contain naughty words and spoilers.
Everybody, and welcome to Hayley Watches. This episode was actually chosen by all of you for a change.
Yeah, we had a little vote, didn't we?
We did, and to honour, is it Sir Sean Connery, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was
knighted.
Yeah.
He sadly passed away a few weeks ago.
He was a sir to us anyway.
Oh, I know. We put up three films. Thank you all for not choosing the bastard film with Nicolas Cage in it. So happy. It's literally over the moon. Like, thank God.
It's the only one on the list I haven't seen. I've never watched The Rock. So
that's great.
Still haven't.
So the winning film was Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I knew nothing about this film. Not been much into Indiana Jones films. Other than going back to The Simpsons, as it seems to be like our ongoing thing. There's that beginning bit when he like rolls down the stairs.
Oh yeah, when he's the boulder. Homer's the boulder.
Amazing.
What's he stolen? What's Bart stolen?
His change.
His change, yeah.
Brilliant.
And his lucky red hat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, classic.
I've got a couple of things to say before we start though. Firstly, because when this is released, we'll be releasing another one till after the event. It's just to wish all our American listeners a happy Thanksgiving on the 26th.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Hope you have a day full of turkey-filled fun. Eat all the food, be merry, be thankful. There's lots to be thankful for.
There is.
We're not political, so let's carry on.
Happy whatever you do on Thanksgiving, because
we don't really know. Just that you eat turkey. And if you own friends, play football.
Do you eat turkey for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
That's a lot of turkey.
Turkey double whammy. Mm.
Double turkey.
Double stuffed.
And then we had another message on on our Instagram page. It was really, really exciting. The listener wrote in to say that they listened to our Naked Gun episode and it inspired them to watch it again.
Excellent.
So
can't
I was like,
enough Naked Gun.
That's awesome. But then all they could hear was my commentary, like as they were watching it.
Oh, no.
So maybe we should change the beginning bit to like this podcast may contain naughty word spoilers and your future enjoyment of the film
will be forever ruined because you'll just hear
me waffling.
Yeah, waffling in the background as you watch.
With apparently my new tagline of I can't read my own writing, so
yeah. That's happening more and more.
I think I'm just getting more and more tired. Everything that's going on.
Just getting older and older.
So we're bringing you this podcast in the middle of second lockdown in the UK. So apologies if we sound a bit tired and cranky. So this Indiana Jones film was released in 1989. God, is that 30 years ago now? 31 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, 31.
Jeepers. So a synopsis of the film is, The Nazis are closing in on the Holy Grail, but Indy's got a secret weapon. His dad, Sean Connery, joins Harrison Ford for another adventure. That made me so joyful that Sean Connery was his dad.
Yeah, you didn't even know, did you?
I didn't even know. I was just over the moon. Also didn't know it was a Lucasfilm. Didn't know it was directed by Steven Spielberg. Also, I think River Phoenix is a young Indy.
Yeah, he is, yeah. It's River Phoenix, yeah.
Awesome. So the film opens with a desertscape, which is Utah, 1912.
Yeah.
And there's like, I thought there were rangers on horses. And then I was distracted by a layout of rocks, which looked like a dick and balls.
Oh, God.
I was like, well, there might not be no boobies in this film, but there's definitely a penis.
So easily pleased, aren't you?
In the form of a rock.
They look like cuckaboos.
They're like all on horses. That's what I might say. I thought they might be rangers, but they're obviously not going to be the right, like the riders of Rohan. No.
No, that's... Oh, God.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. This one's going to be a strange episode. So they get to like this little rock bit, like an entrance, and the guy shouts, dismount, and they all get off. And I was like, oh, okay, they're scouts or something.
Yeah, something.
They're like young, aren't they?
Got the little yellow neckerchiefs on.
And then like he goes, like, off you go, and all the kids run off, and they're climbing into like all these caves. And then they stop at an opening, and someone, one of the kids, there's two of them, says, what's that? And of course, they sort of climb on in and they see a few men digging, which I guess are treasure hunters or grave
tomb
robbers.
Raiders.
Something like that. Oh, they're tomb raiders. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, a man pulls out a cross and Indy's like, what are they doing? This is such an important artifact. It belongs in a museum.
Could, like,
nerd!
All teenage boys would be God. Like, oh my God, look, that needs to be in a museum.
No.
Not like, wow.
They're hiding their
sticky... We should steal that.
They're hiding their sticky porn mags somewhere their mum won't find them.
Hey, that should be in a museum. And his friend's like, yeah, great. Have you seen Readers of Wives this month?
I've still got that page tucked to my hand.
Fucking... Oh, no. No, no, no. Sean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
oh,
Sean.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. This is in tribute of you, and it's gone all kinds of wrong. Oh. So anyways, he asks his friend to go get some help, and then he goes, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'll think of something. So he's like climbing up this wall, or it wasn't a wall yet. He like gets across somehow. I was busy writing. All I saw was him escaping with the cross because he breaks some wood and they see him. And then he whistles for his trusty horse. This bit was just my kind of humour. So the horse, like, comes over the top and it runs down to the bottom of the ledge. And then he goes to jump down onto its back and the horse just fucks off. It's like, no thanks, mate. Like,
no, you're right.
Fuck off. So he's, like, riding away on his horse, and then the cars are chasing him. Then you see a steam train. It's like a circus train, like, almost like, do you know, like in Dumbo when you've got like, the giraffe's head sticking out the top, and like a crocodile carriage and a lion carriage, I call that. And he jumps onto the train, as does every other bad guy, and there's, like, the usual stupid chase, like, across tumbling.
Got run across the top of the train.
All that sort of thing. He then, like, falls into the reptile case, that carriage, and, like, falls in, and there's, like, loads of snakes, and there's, like, a crocodile or alligator, I'm not too sure the difference is, and he falls into a crate of snakes, and I was like, they're not even, like, the bad ones, they're just a load of little ones, and you're like, oh, but he's got a fear of snakes, and that's where it all started, makes sense. So he's, like, getting all these snakes off of him, and then they get... He gets caught by one of the guys on the rhino carriage. They piss it off because a light falls on it. And then the horn comes through.
The horn starts coming from the roof.
And then it comes
carriage,
through like a penis shot, like just between what? His legs. And it just misses, doesn't it? And he's like, oh.
I don't know what you meant by penis shot then.
But it's like the usual. It's obviously going to be close to his male part, isn't it?
Well, you would making some sort of penetration joke.
No, I wasn't. It's just a standard every man cringing at the thought of it being so close to their meat and two veg.
Or their rocks in the Utah desert.
Oh, if those rocks are really there, I really want to go pay homage and pilgrimage to it.
Where are you going? I'm going on a walk to some cock rocks.
Cock rocks? By the way, this film's a PG. We have not made that PG.
Cock rocks and all.
Oh, dear. So, so they keep having, like, running across the carriages, and then he meets the boss man because he like jumps and swings around and he lands in front of like the main guy who finds the cross.
Yeah.
They then have a fight and he falls into the lion enclosure where he gets a whip and he like whips and then he whips it again but hits his own face. And,
which is how he, because when he's older he's got a scar on his chin.
Okay, that's so how that's they tie
the,
it in.
That's the birth of the scar.
Yeah, he grabs the cross and he gets pulled out and they have another little fight and then a snake comes out of his sleeve, which could be the sequel to Snakes on the Plane. Snakes up your sleeve.
Is there a snakes on a train?
Oh God, probably.
I'm going to Google it.
Anyways, he then escapes via snake sleeve thing and then runs down the train and they go like, oh, let's wait and see where he goes. And then he hides in the box. Because I'll come out, get out, kid. But he's disappeared, basically through the bottom of the train and, like, runs off. So it's like magic. I was like, I like the cut of his jib.
The cut of his jib.
Jib. Or was it jib?
Jib.
Okay. I wrote jib.
Also, no one said the cut of his jib in about 100 years.
It's only because I watch Simpsons and you hear Miss Monty Burns say it. I was like, yes. So anyways, he runs home, tries to find his dad, and he can't. Oh, he sees his dad. His dad won't talk to him. And then some guys turn up and basically the rightful owner won't press charges. Oh, it's a sheriff in it, because his mate turns up with that trumpet.
The scout trumpet. Yeah. Thing.
So he's got, like, the sheriff, everybody, and they're like, oh, the rightful owner won't press charges. Turns out to be the bad guy. And then you see the other guy who gives him the cross, so that's worth remembering. And then the bad guy, I'm doing like the air quote thing, said to Indy, you lost today, kid, doesn't mean you have to like it. And he gives him his hat. Then it's like the music cuts to Harrison Ford tied up to some boat, like in the middle of a storm. And he's like having a little smile and he's like punched in the face. And then,
it's not snakes on a boat, though.
No. He hasn't got any snakes up his sleeve this time. No tricks up his sleeve, snakes up his sleeve. Yeah. I know. This is going to be a good one. Sorry, guys. If we lose you all, I understand.
So many puns already.
It's awful, isn't it? So he's got the cross again. Same cross.
Yeah.
And again, he uses the same argument. It belongs in the museum. I think it turns out to be the same guy or something. I can't remember.
It's the same limpy.
Yeah.
Big boss guy who wants the cross, isn't it?
So anyways, they have a bit of a fight. He managed to escape on another, or just jumps into the sea because the cross like nearly washes away and all the big waves and all that sort of stuff.
It's quite funny because when they're having the fight and the boss is like, throw him into the sea. So he fights back to not be thrown into the sea. And then when he wins the fight, he just jumps in the sea.
Yeah, love it.
Don't throw me in there. I'm jumping in there.
I'm only going of my own accord.
You can't make me.
God forbid. So then he sees some explosives on the boat. He swings off into the sea. The boat explodes. The boat's also, I saw the word Corona on it, which just made me feel like, I thought it was hilarious. If only that bastard thing would just blow up. But thank God there's like a little life ring, isn't there, that suddenly floats towards him. Yeah. It gets into like a life ring. It's not a door. Just a life ring.
Not a door. Oh.
I know, poor Jack.
It was big enough for two.
I think someone did some sort of scientific test on that to prove that it wouldn't have worked or something. They had too much time on their hands. So he then like looks like a chic, geeky professor in the next scene.
Yeah.
He's got glasses on the knee and he's like,
professor
of archaeology. And he says like, X never marks a spot. Oh, funny. And then this man comes in, because it's funny later on. I was like, oh my God, okay, fine, whatever. Archaeologists aren't pirates, but fine. So then, like, this man turns up and he's like, we've got it, we've got it. And then, like, all these girls swooning over him. I was just rolling my eyes. And they wanted, like, signatures and stuff. And then this other woman's coming, complaining about how he's not caught up with all of his marking. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he goes into his office, shuts the door. And
then he sneaks out the window.
Yeah. Like he sneaks out the window. There's three men waiting for him. And he says, like, oh, Miss Dr. Jones. And then they all surround him. Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones. Come on, Dr. Jones.
It's actually about him, that song, so I suppose I've got to allow it.
It's not, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, they're in the jungle, aren't they? In the video.
Yeah. And they dress like Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Who did you think it was about?
I don't know. I just thought it came out about the same time as Witch Doctor remake, so I just kind of assumed it was all like about made up.
They were the same thing. Yeah.
Just made up as like a guy called Dr. Jones, because why not? Anyways, so he gets taken to a room, and there's a guy called Mr. Donovan.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've got this thing that might interest you, and it's like a stone that's kind of cut off at the top. And it gives a description about like a cup that holds the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's a holy grail, and it gives you the gift of youth. And he said, that's what your father wanted. And so basically, if it was intact, we could be able to find it, and it was found by three knights 150 years after finding the grail, and they had a manuscript of all the details which a knight had given someone else. It was all written on a tablet, basically. And well, then
a book is in the tablet, and then there was a book,
yeah, but something was buried with one of the knights that died in place.
The book that was written from what the knight said, do you think it was called A Knight's Tale?
Well, he does effectively lance someone in the middle of this film, so...
And that was a tale told by a knight about the Holy Grail.
Was it like a reincarnate, or like an old, I can't think of a word. Do you know what I mean? Like a Heath Ledger, like years
past,
ago.
Like a past life.
Yeah.
Could have been.
See?
Could have been.
So they said, basically, they want him to complete this great quest to try and find out, because the person who was running it has gone missing, and they need him to go and pick up where he left off. And he said, basically, you've got the wrong Jones. You need my father. And he goes, that's the thing. It's your father that's disappeared. Bum, bum, bum. So he goes to his father's house. It's been completely ransacked. And then he, like, suddenly remembers he's got his packet in his pocket. And it's his father's diary of all the details. And, like, his whole life's work.
It's Grail Journal, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, someone must really want that badly. So then Donovan asks him if he believes in the Grail. And then, like, they have this bit of a deep conversation, and he basically agrees to go. And Donovan's parting words when he, like, gets to the airport to get on the plane is, like, don't trust anybody.
Mm. Mm.
So then it's, like, then there's, like, this classic moving map, isn't it, that you just love.
Yeah,
where it's, like,
brilliant.
Sat on a plane, absolutely, and you see brilliant. It, like, plotting its route to, like,
just
wherever
the
it's
map,
going.
And then the red line, and it's yeah. sort of superimposed over pictures of the places they're travelling through. You know, it's so terribly good.
It's amazing, isn't it? So they get to Venice, and they're told to meet someone called Dr. Schneider, and who happens to be a very attractive blonde lady called Elsa. So she's like, oh, you got your father's eyes. And he goes, oh, but I've got my mother's ears, and the rest of me is all yours. Oh, my God.
So smooth.
It's really not.
How
it's
dare
like
you.
So.
How dare
so
you?
So old fashioned.
It's set in like the. What was it? The 1940s.
I know, but we've come a long way now. Thank God. Actually, to be fair, we'll probably still get those little comments, but never mind. Anyways, so they basically. This Dr. Elsa says that she was with his father in the library, and then she comes back from getting something and he's gone. And then while she's trying to tell him all this information, he's trying to give her a flower, like put her in a jacket. I'd be like, get the fuck off me. I'm trying to have a conversation with you, and all you're thinking about is with your other head and not your actual head. Like, can you just listen?
Like one of them, the people who force the flowers on you when you go abroad on holiday.
Yeah, £10.
Force it into your pocket, and you're like, oh, thanks, yeah, money. give me money. I don't want the flower. Like, fuck off. Have the flower back. I don't want it. You're not having my money.
Very aggressive. So that, I was like, oh my God, I would be slapping his hand away going, right, do you know what? If you're going to be a twat, I'm not interested in doing this anymore.
Find your dad your fucking self, prick. Yeah. Go away.
Stop trying to brush my tit with your hand. Anyway,
this is a bit from Friends, isn't it? Where he sticks the sticker on his chest. I'll make sure it's on there. Good.
Just like, well, that's the most sex I'm getting this weekend. Oh dear. Anyways, so he walk into this library, which is where his father was before, and he says, I've seen this window before, and it's in his dad's like diary. He opens up, it's like a proper old scrapbook like serial killers have. Joe, like, in all those, like, films where it's, like, bits written all over the place and they've, like, licked and stuck down something from another book. So it looks like scrappy AF. Yeah. Put the lotion in the basket.
I'm out to get the hose again.
So he's, like, reading through his diary, and he said, oh, the tomb's got to be here in the library. And he's given, like, a load of numbers, and they're walking around looking at all this stuff. And then he stops and goes up this spiral staircase and looks down, and there's a fucking great big cross in the middle of the floor. I'm like, how has no one else who's visited that library not seen that and gone, that's a bit weird?
Why is there a big X on the floor?
Like, it... people might have maybe issued as a Roman numeral. I don't know.
Dr. Jones did say X doesn't mark the spot, so it can't mean anything.
And he was like, X really does mark the spot. Yeah, great.
Jeez.
So then there's like a really funny bit where he's like trying to smash the floor, but he times it when like the librarian guy's like hitting the books. So the guy thinks it's his stamper that's making this loud crunching noise.
Looking at it like, what the fuck is going on?
So just like puts it to one side whilst he continues to smash the floor in. Anyways, he lifts up a slab and the doctor's like, oh, lower me in. So he like lowers her into this like crypt, which is just full of bones and dust. And then, like, I don't understand what the hell was on the floor. It's like a load of water because he, like, bashes through the wall, doesn't he? It's like a wall bit. Before that, actually, there's, like, a load of guys with fezzes on.
Yeah.
That come down the spiral staircase and whack the guy on the head and drag him away.
Hey, they're foreign. They wear fezzes.
Well, I just thought it might have been, like, the fez guys. Just that it was, like, their uniform.
Might have been what?
Fez guys.
What?
That might just been their uniform, like a secret society. So their key piece is a fez.
I love what you say. I just thought they were the fez guys. As if that's like a real thing. Yeah, you know, you got FBI, CIA, fez guys. Totally normal. Just keep going. What?
Man in a fez. Anyways, yeah, so it's like all cobwebby and there's like skeletons everywhere, and he uses a bone from one of the skeletons and like dips it in the water with a rag on it and then sets it on fire. I'm like, that's full of petrol or something.
Does he dip it in the water?
He dips it in the water. Don't understand what it is. So then he gets through with his like rag and bone torch, and then there's like a shitload of rats, like just everywhere.
Rats everywhere.
And they're like all down the walls and stuff. And then he has to like firemen carry her, of course. So they get into like this other crypt. They got through the rat hole of hell. And she's like, oh, look at the artistry and all these lovely tombs. I'm like, well, look at the fact you're like waist deep in some unknown, disgusting water surrounded by rats. Like, that's.
Isn't it beautiful?
I don't really. I'm
covered in rat shit. Can we not right now?
I'd be thinking.
We'll just get on with it.
If any of that water gets in my mouth, I'm dead. Like, I'm going to have dysentery. I'm going to have, like, probably some other hideous kind of illness.
If you drink that, be shitting through the eye of the needle. Can we just get on
shitting
with it?
Your insides out. Anyways, they find the right skeleton inside who has a full shield. He gets super excited. He makes a rubbing of it. And basically, you see the fez guys.
I love that. He's like, quick, quick, Give me a bit of tracing paper and a crayon. I've got to do a quick rubbing.
In no one's pockets, and they're waist deep in bastard water. Like, of course, you're going to have a dry piece of paper that you've kept where? Oh, Indy, hang on, I'll just get it out of my bra.
Indy, the Fez guys are coming. The Fez guys are coming. Wait, I must do a rubbing.
So, yeah, so then you see one of the Fez guys at the door. They light a match, drop it in the water, and there's a massive fire. Kicks the old skeleton out of his home he's been living in for God knows how many years.
Yeah, real him low out. Move.
Yeah, well, like, just like, fuck it.
Oh, thanks, Dead Knight, for giving us what we need now. Fuck off.
Just flicks him out, tips the tomb over.
Get in that shitty water.
Shitty water.
Oh, you've been in it, you can fucking go into. Just get out.
So yeah, so they upturn the tomb, get inside, so they've got a bit of air. Very clever. And then he's like, I'm just waiting here. And then he swims out and he finds an exit. In the meantime, the rats are all climbing in, all up in her hair.
Yeah, they're like eating her hair, aren't they?
Yeah, it's real grim. So then they manage to get out and they come right out of like a thing into like an eating area.
Out of a drain, yeah.
Yeah. And then the first
thing, if you're sat there having your lunch, you're in Venice, like, which apparently stinks, I don't know. I've been there, I've got no sense of smell, so I've no idea. Do you think that, but they're all sat around, like, having a lovely meal, and then a sewer opens, and people come out covered in shitty sewer water.
Might have had rats up their sleeve.
Might have had rats up their sleeve, snakes, dysentery. Could have had bits of bone in her hair and shit. You'd just be like, what the fuck?
Is going on here. I was going to go on TripAdvisor and say it was nice till the drain opened.
I just want to sit here in Venice, eat my spag bowl and have a nice time, but no. Now everything's covered in shitty water and rats. And these people fucking stink.
I've gone right off my knockie. So the Fez guys see them and they run after them, of course. They all get into a boat. One of the Fez guys gets on the boat with them, fighting shoes. The right word.
I just want him to be shouting, stop, stop, it's the Fez guy.
Stop, in the name of the Fez.
Hot Fez.
Bad Fez.
Oh no, here come the Fez. Oh, what a cop show this would be. Fez guys.
You never fire two guns with a fez on your head.
It would have been an high speed bazooka and a fez. And these guys have, and in boats.
So it's like your usual sort of boat chase, and they do like bumper boats and.
No luck catching Dr. Jones in.
It's just one doctor, actually.
Quick, carry on, because otherwise this might not be the Hot Fuzz episode.
I wish I'd never seen that now, do you know? We could do that one, because I love that film. Anyways, there's like one bit where like they try to squeeze through the boats, one of them does like a horrendous like shocked face, and yeah, bumper boats, and they manage to get one guy on his own, and the boat's like heading in towards the propeller of another boat, and he's trying to like interrogate him poorly. And he said basically, because the secret of the Grail is being kept safe, it's not safe anymore. Basically, anyone who's looking for it's got to die.
At the hands of Fez.
At the hands of the Fez. He says to the guy, they get him onto dry land. They give him a little bit more of an interrogation. He's like, well, why have you come for the Cup of Christ? Because he's just not interested in the Cup of Christ. He just wants to find his dad. So basically that makes him then, I guess, a bit worthy. They find out, they go back to like this room, like a hotel room or something. And they basically work out, you need to go to a place called the City of Alexandria, which I think's not there anymore. They got to look for the can of the crescent moon. And they suddenly go, oh, wait, actually, look, in your dad's diary, he's done a map.
Who knew?
God, Jesus, have you not looked through it? I'll be trying to find out all these secrets, like having a little nosy read through. So basically, he said, oh, your dad obviously knew everything he needed to do, but he just didn't know where to begin. So Endy leaves the room and he goes into, like, goes into his bedroom, finds that it's been overturned, goes into Elsa's room, like, the music's going and she's in the shower. And,
of course.
Of course she is. And then,
washing the shitty water off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Isn't Indian a dressing gown for like this entire scene?
I think
well?
He is, in yeah. like some sort of Hugh Hefner type velvet. Hideous.
Crushed below.
Oh, God. Yeah, so she goes into his room. He threw me off then. He gets her out. She notices her room's been trashed. And they have a bit of an argument. And she's like, oh, yeah, give them a flower and they'll follow you anywhere. And, like, it's just... Then he just gives her the most disgusting kiss I've ever seen in my life. It's, like, hideous. And then...
Yeah, this is strange, this bit.
I just didn't enjoy
he's like,
it.
How dare you kiss me? And then kisses him. It's just, and then he's like, stay away from me. I hate fast women. And kisses her. Like, what? So are you arguing or are you getting it on? Like, what's happening?
Like,
you,
make a choice.
Why are you doing
it
both?
Yeah, just looks ridiculous.
Why are you so aggressively shouting at each other, but also doing really hot for each other?
But they're not even kissing nicely. It wasn't even like... I didn't watch that and go, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched it was like, oh.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant kiss to look at, no.
Then you got another little travelling map.
Yeah!
I think it's Salzburg. It's basically in Austria.
The Austrian-German border, yeah.
Which they said they're going to, like, it's just mentioned some sort of famous art collectors. And they turn up at this address and she's like, what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, I'll think of something. Standard indie line. Yeah. He, like, knocks on the door and the door opens, like, this butler guy. And he does the most awful... awful Scottish accent.
Do you know who he sounds like? He sounds like the bloke in Highlander.
I love that film for years.
It was like, when you watch it, he's supposed to be Scottish. He starts off trying to do a Scottish accent. And then you could tell all the way through, he's just like, can we just get to the bit in the future where I've not been in Scotland for a long time and I can drop the Scottish accent
because
it's so bad.
It's so bad. Oh my God. I was literally watching it and I was cringing. I was like, why make him do it? Yeah. Oh, Harrison.
Not good. Not good.
Then he like basically has a discussion with the butler about trying to look at some pieces and he's like trying to get rid of him. So then he punches him in the face. They sneak through to look into a room and the room is full of Nazis. And I was like, when was this even set? I couldn't work out if it was like future Nazis. And I nearly asked you, like, why are they using Nazis? And
future not... Nazis.
Yeah, as in like.
Why do you sound like you're in an episode of Mighty Boosh?
Future Nazis.
Yeah, the future sailors.
But I stopped myself from asking you that stupid question because it got answered later on. And I was like, okay, we're in the 40s. There's lots of Nazis. He's like, Nazis, I hate these guys.
Everyone watching is like, so do we, Indy. Yeah,
so do we.
They're bad guys.
And he said, basically, they go to try and find the room that, I don't know what they're looking for now, his dad, I guess. Yeah. And he says, oh, it's in here. I don't know if I can remember it or something else now.
Looking for whatever they're looking for. The dad. Skeleton, the dad, the shield.
Some more the grail, trace paper.
Trace of paper, rubbing.
So out of graph paper. It's unreal.
New dressing gowns. Some more shitty water.
Some more fezzes. She said to basically Indy, how do you know it's this room? He goes, oh, because it's wired. Duh.
Yeah, because there's a fucking alarm on it.
Jesus.
Obviously something good's in there.
So he climbs out of the window, uses his trusty whip around something, swings in, kicks in the window.
Love an indie whip swing.
Yeah, standard.
Can't be beat.
Then he like does like a superhero landing-ish. And then gets smacked around the head with like a vase. I was like, who the fuck is that? And he's like, Junior, what are you doing here? And then you see him for the first time.
It's Sean.
Connery, he looks wonderful with a beard.
Papa Sean.
He looks so good in this film.
That's it, balding as well in this film.
I just like, he looked really friendly. I liked him. So he obviously has this whole thing going, he hates being called Junior. And then his dad's like going on about how he could never forgive himself for breaking the vase. And he looks in and goes, oh, it's fine, it's a fake.
Yeah.
I'm like... Oh,
literally couldn't give a shit. He's just caved Indy's head in with it.
Like, then I felt like a massive shift in the film when I went from being like, this is going to be a hideous kind of awful chat up lines with this blonde bird to like, actually, I think I'm going to be all right now. because this was like really good. So anyways, so they said about how we found the tomb. We saw you found the tomb of Saint Richard. He's like, yeah, good, yeah. Found the shield and it's in Alexandria. He's like, of course. He's like, Junior, you did it. And he's basically doing that for like 40 odd years. And then Indy's saying to him, there were rats, like big rats.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like, oh. And basically his dad explains that Nazis want the book. Then of course Nazis come in with their guns. And he says about how Indy's there. He goes, oh, he wouldn't be stupid enough to bring the book with him.
He's got it in his pocket.
Yeah. And then they have like this big argument. And then
I mailed it to you.
Yeah.
Keep it away from these guards and you brought it back.
Just ridiculous.
Brilliant.
So then he grabs a gun and kills some people. And he's like, don't call me Junior. And he's like, oh, what have you done? Anyways, they run outside. They find Elsa with a gun to her head. And he's like, I wouldn't listen to her. Like, I don't trust her or anything.
Yeah, don't trust her. She's one of them.
Yeah. So then she's like, oh, please help me, please help me. So he like throws the gun away and she comes up to him. She's like, I'm so sorry. And he takes the diary out of his book. And then she's like, you should listen to your father. I'll be like, that is for that stupid flower when I was trying to talk to you, seriously. And that hideous kiss that did nothing for me.
I was thinking about being a Nazi, but then... you gave me that shit flower and whatever that kiss was, and that pushed me over the edge.
And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to help Hitler. I'm all over that.
I can't have another kiss like that.
No. So they're then tied up, and he says, like, how did you know that she was a Nazi? And he was like, she talks in her sleep. Oh, daddy went there. So it's like this whole ongoing thing of, like, did him and Elsa, you know, get it on? So then you see Walter Donovan again, and he's like, I told you, you can't trust anybody. Oh, there's a twisty. Big old twisty.
Ooh, a little twisty.
Future Nazis. So anyways, she gets the book off him, flicks through it, there's no map, the map's missing. And he said basically that he sent it to Marcus. And his dad's like, why have you sent it to Marcus? He's useless. Which we do find out later on, he really is.
Indy oversells him, doesn't he, though, to the Nazis?
Yeah.
He speaks all these languages, and he's got a two-day head start, and he knows so much. Sean Connery is like, oh, does he really know that? And Indy's like, no,
he doesn't
at all. He's fucking terrible.
So there's, like, another man in the fez that you see, and...
You nearly said man in the mirror, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. So when she's leaving, they do like this awful kissing, just how we say goodbye in whatever, like in Austria.
How we say goodbye in Austria with a shit kiss.
Yeah.
And then the Nazi comes over and punches him in the face. Yeah. He's like, this is how we say goodbye in Germany.
So that's hilarious.
And he's like, oh, I prefer the Austrian way.
Yeah. So do I. Of course you do. So then it cuts to, I think, then you see the guy, Marcus, who meets a guy who's wearing a fez, is where I got to. And then they see another guy who comes up to him.
He says he's from the museum.
Yeah. And he says, oh, I need your papers. And then
there's not a museum here. Run. Yeah. Run, Marcus. Run.
So they run away. And then he's like, here, go in this door, which happens to be a lorry. And I'm like, well done.
Really? Quick, in the shop. Oh, fuck.
It's done.
There's a lorry then driven off.
Oh. So, yeah. Oh, I've actually jumped ahead. So that bit happens before the awful kiss. And then they go. And when they leave, he has a lighter, which they try and burn through the ropes. And then Sean Connery drops it on the floor and, like, blows on it and starts a fire. So,
how strong is his blow?
I know.
Oh, fuck.
So then they're, like, on the chairs trying to jump away. He's got this thing that goes, like, Dad! Like that all the time. It's hilarious. So then they, like, get to a fireplace, accidentally hit, like, a secret lever. Pull the lever, crunk! And then it spins around, but it does, like, a free... Have you never seen Emperor's New Groove?
I have, but that's just brilliant. Your face. And they hit the secret lever. Pull the lever, crunk! And then it spins around. Like, there was no pause for thought at all. You've been planning that one.
I hadn't, actually. No, it just came to my head. Yeah. I went full Yzma. So just like a full 360, but as you come round the other side...
Full of Nazis.
Full of Nazis. And then it goes round again. And so they hit it again and stop. And then she's, like, talking to somebody. And then she reminds me of the one in Austin Powers. Joe,
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
Frau, I can't remember what her name is.
I can't remember either.
just like
she talks like no because she smiles and then she's
yeah.
like, how you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone leaps up with their guns.
So they're like trying to shoot them, and then they press the lever, go around again. Basically, somehow stop it. So that's half and half. So then all the soldiers go into the fire room, and they're left in there with the woman. I think they like knock her out or something. They then escape and
down a secret staircase
that Sean Connery sits in a chair and opens it. And he's like,
I have to find if I ever sit down, things yeah. present themselves.
Yeah, like, and of course they do.
And it goes out. Yeah,
off they go. Like there you go. Because I'm so cool. They see loads of boats, and he's like, we're not travelling by boat. So he lets one go, so it's like they've gone on that. The Nazis come running out, all jump in a boat. They go off onto the water. They come out of some crate on a like bike and sidecar.
Brilliant.
Which is amazing.
Classic.
He's like holding on for dear life, Sean Connery. Like yeah, he's terrified. It's like his umbrella terrified. And everything. So they grab like this. There's like loads of little bits that happen with like bike chase, isn't there?
Yeah.
And like one you of the bits the one is that, he takes.
One of the Nazis chases him by doing a wheelie.
Yeah, and he's like.
And then his wheel goes on the back of the bike, doesn't it? And you're like, oh, get off.
So he like.
And that's when he jousts someone. He grabs a stick.
He's got a flag and like jabs. Yeah, it. And jousts them. And then he's got a bit left where he shoves into the wheel. So that's that done. So that's the final bit. Then he's talking about how. He needs to get the diary back because there's basically three final challenges, like booby traps, and he's written them all down.
Booby traps.
he's written them all down, but he can't remember them. And basically, like, Indy's like, all you care about is the Grail, and he's like, well, yeah, of course, and Marcus would agree. He says it's basically a race against evil because if the Nazis get it, then it'll be like an army of darkness or something.
Mm.
Yeah. So they get to like a signpost. It's got one way Venice, one way Berlin. And you're like, well, which way is he going to go? Obviously to Berlin. So you see all the Nazis like marching. You see them burning all the books. You suddenly see Indy dressed up as in like military uniform. His dad's like, oh, we're like pilgrims in an unholy land. Great.
Brilliant.
So you see them like close up to them burning all the books. You see Elsa standing there crying. And
I'm really confused. Are we supposed to not like her because she's a Nazi? And also has, like, betrayed them both.
Don't all I
but
see...
then they're like, oh, she's a Nazi who doesn't like book burning, so let's feel a bit sorry for her. And also Indy does kind of like her. And you're like, she's still a Nazi.
I kind of felt nothing for her. She's a really nothing character.
Yeah, you're like, you're trying... they're trying to make her a bit sympathetic. And you're like, ah, Nazi doesn't like book burning.
Yeah. It's like, I Great. Kind of didn't care about her when I saw her on the screen first time around. I was like...
Still a fucking Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways...
Nazis, I hate these guys.
So he says, oh, hello, Doctor, where is it? As in the book. And she's like, oh, you've come back to get the book and not for me. And he's like, obviously.
Obviously, you just left us tied up in a castle full of Nazis.
So,
of which you are one,
he
prick.
Gets the book off her. He's like, oh, all I've got to do is squeeze. He's got it around the neck. She's like, all I've got to do is scream. And he just basically just leaves her there. Finds his dad. And then they get caught up in a crowd that's pushing them somewhere. And I'm like, oh my God. And basically, he's sitting there holding his book. And he ends up in front of Hitler, who takes the book off him and then just signs it and then just walks off.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't
like,
it? It's so weird.
Random.
Because he like, he full on opens the book. He's like looking at it. It's got stuff to do with the Holy Grail. And all right, yeah, you must want me to sign this.
Obviously.
Fucking Nazis.
So then we're at the airport, and they said they basically got the first flight out of Germany, which happened to be a blimp.
Hey there, blimpy boy, flying through the air so fancy free. You'd do anything to get a Simpsons reference in, won't you?
Just because there's some classics. Anyway, and then you see like the main sort of, I don't know if it's like a general or something, a load of people running towards a blimp and they're all checking the passengers, showing leaflets. So Indy goes around and gets one of the like guys that works on the blimp's uniform. He's asking to check tickets. They basically find his dad and they're like a bit of recognition, like, oh, I need to come with me or whatever. Then Indy says to him, can I check your tickets, please? Have a bit of a fight. He punches him in the face.
Throws him out the fucking window.
And everyone looks at him. He's like, He didn't show me his tickets. So they'll get their tickets out.
Well, so he lands on like loads of luggage when he goes out. Worrying. Lands on all this luggage, and then the blimp takes off.
People's luggage?
They're not taking their shit. No, just leave that there.
That is.
I believe so... I had a case.
Pretty sure I did. So then they're like having a heart to heart on the blimp. It was like a classic one. It was like, oh, you left home when you started to get interesting. Pretty harsh. And it's like, oh, you know, you just wanted to talk to him. He's like, what do you want to talk about? He's like, I can't think of anything. So they're like, well, we've got work to do. So he looks out the window and they notice the blimp's turning around. So they have to get off and they go underneath the blimp to like this plane. And he's like, I didn't know you could fly a plane. And Indy's like, fly, yes. Land, no.
Setting up right there.
Yeah, I was like, I would...
I'll stay on the blimp, mate.
Yeah, I'll just fucking take my risk. So, office in a plane, and then, of course, there's going to be a plane fight chase, and they're, like, doing shooting.
Plane fight chase.
A bit of everything.
Dog fight.
Yeah.
It's called a dog fight.
I know it's called a dog fight, but...
You like plane fight chase.
Yeah. Sounds more interesting. Sounds like another film. I'm trying to think of, like, another film that's kind of got similar...
A spin-off from Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
For the people who brought you Snakes on a Plane comes Plane Fight Chase.
If I make that film, I need some money from that because that's my idea. Basically, his dad has to do all the shooting. He shoots his own plane.
Shoots his own plane. Yeah, I love that bit. I was literally about to say to you, if he turns that gun round, it'd be pointed at the tail of their own plane. And just before I could say it, he shoots off the end of their own plane. Amazing.
That's some Prosecco then to hide my whistle. So yeah, so he shoots his own plane and they're going down. He goes, oh, unfortunately, they hit us. They land in like a load of goats, really, like a field of goats.
Yeah, like that Sean Connery's like, ah, oh, sorry, they got us.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would say. Ah, bollocks. A little ladder goats.
Ladder goats.
You ladder goat. yeah, so then there's more planes chasing them and... More plane fight chase. He's like, I think I'm trying to kill us. Yeah, I think they probably are. So then they, like, get in a car, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, there's an old man fixing a car. They steal it.
They're driving and they go for, like, this cave or something, like a long cave.
A tunnel.
And the plane goes next to them because it's lost its wheels. Wings.
Yeah, it crashes into the tunnel, doesn't it? Loses its wings, skids along, overtakes them.
Like looking at each other. And like, it explodes.
How that tunnel suddenly is wide enough for the plane and the car.
Yeah. Who knows?
Explodes, big ball of flame, the car just drives through.
Yeah.
With no issues whatsoever.
And then they end up on the beach and you see another plane coming towards them and he's like, you suddenly see Sean Connery has an idea and basically gets his umbrella, he's opening it up and chasing all the seagulls and they all fly into the plane and it crashes
jam
into
up the propeller.
Fucking...
That's really all? You could do that?
I suppose, yeah.
Jet planes, their engines explode if they suck birds in.
Why would you tell me that?
Yeah, that was a bad idea. Shouldn't have said that. It's not true. It's just a film.
Wait, they have four, don't they? They have four jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Okay, cool. Next time you ever go on holiday abroad, I'll be asking how many phalanges there are.
How many phalanges are there?
So, they basically end up at the Republic of Haiti? Haiti? I don't know how you pronounce it.
Haiti.
Yeah, but isn't Haiti like... another place. I don't know. It's spelled Hatey.
Yeah, Hattie.
Yeah, something like that. I should have probably looked this up before I did this podcast. So this is
the story of this podcast.
Oh my God. Do your research. So they're talking about basically the map and the bad guy Donovan is there. We're talking to like the king of that country, asking permission to be like there and digging and stuff, basically bribing him with like his crate full of goodies. And he goes, oh, you can have anything you want. You've got like this Rolls Royce Phantom 2. Like, amazing. Is it decked out with diamantes?
Swarovski crystals. Yeah. Did they have them back then?
And then he's like basically giving all modes of transport and stuff, like even a tank. Amazing. So that's when Elsa comes in and tells him that the two Joneses have escaped. And that they don't have much time. So then they get told by the guy in affairs that they've taken Mr. Brody, who is Marcus, into the desert. So he tells that to Indy and his dad.
Yeah.
So they have to head off into the desert. And then it's when you see, like, this absolutely fucking huge tank, like, in the desert with all the Nazis. Like, it's huge. And he basically, Marcus is with them, and this woman's like, oh, do you want a drink, Marcus? He's like, I'd rather spit in your face.
So,
no thanks.
So polite about it, isn't he?
So he said basically that you can see Indy and the dad and the Fez man are hiding in the rocks, and Indy's like looking down, and he's talking about the range on the and the gun size on the tank. He's just like, get out, because you know you could be shot, and obviously they are, but they can't see them. So the guy could be up there, but we're not too sure. And then they all start getting shot at. And they see one of the guys, they all start shooting back, and one of the guys is like kind of still alive, and he says that he's sending a message from God about the unworthy, and then like the man dies. In the meantime, the dad has got into the tank to talk to Marcus, and they're like having a little natter, and the German soldiers get in and search him, and of course he has the book.
Of course.
Ridiculous.
They're just like desperate to give it back all the way through.
I know, it's crazy. Like,
give us the book. Here's the book. Give us the book. Here's the book.
So then they see Indy's got the horse, because they're saying basically that he doesn't want the camels, he wants horses. So you see him riding off, and obviously the tank chases after him and the horse, and they're trying to shoot him with the massive tank on a horse, as you do.
Tank versus horse.
Yeah. Poor fucking horse.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for the horse. So he must have been terrified.
Not running his little ass off, and he's like, yeah. Fuck me.
It's like, oh shit, it's all exploding. So he basically runs around. Yeah. He runs around like a full circle, and the tank's like following him round, and basically crashes into a load of other vehicles. And then, yeah, it's just driving around with all of these like bloody like cars on it, isn't it? Like the trucks and jeeps.
Yeah, wedges a rock into one of the guns.
Yeah, he does expose into it. But then he like is having a fight up the top with the soldiers, and there's three of them in a line, and he shoots them, and the bullet goes through all three of them. And I was like, oh, bad Deadpool. Oh, good Deadpool.
Love it.
So Connery's like, looking at his gun, so that he's like trying to get away from this guy, while the other soldiers are looking through the little peaky periscope. Is it a periscope?
Yeah.
So when they look up, they push it up and look, and it's basically like looking straight at Harrison Ford's cock area.
Cock area.
And then like he ends up like jumping up and he goes like face into it. He's like, ugh! I was like, I would have been like, oh man, like, you know, I'm looking at his crotch area. Let's just look away from that. Anyways, I think there's like a bit more of a fight, and doesn't his dad like get the soldier in the eye with ink?
Or something, yeah.
And then the guy's like, Marcus is like, oh, it shows you that the pen is mightier than the sword. And I'm like, oh God, hideous. So there's like a bit of a Lion King moment between Indy and the man, like the main officer bloke, and he's like trying to stamp on his fingers. Yeah. And then it's like basically Indy's near to a wall, and then it's like quite close. I don't know, like edge thing. I don't know, like a trench. Yeah. No, but it's not a cliff yet, is it? It's like a gap in the stones.
Yeah.
And it's like getting closer and closer, and it's supposed to be quite tense. So like by this point, I'm just like getting really, really bored. It's a really long fight. With like a, I'm like, oh my God, just fucking kill them all and get over with. It's just ridiculous. Oh God.
So what you're saying is you love the action.
I just get so bored of it after a little while. Anyways, eventually the whole...
Definitely got to pick an action film next then.
Oh, God. So, yeah, basically he ends up... There's like a bit of a class... The music changes, basically. He's looking a bit tense, looking like he's going to lose. The music changes. Then he, like, obviously is kicking some ass. So that's great. Basically the whole thing just goes over the edge of the cliff. And you think... The general lead guy, whoever it was, is there. You think Indy's dead, and everyone's looking over the edge of the cliff. He's like, oh, you know, I just got back just got to see him again. I think I've lost him, all that sort of things. Then away from them, you then see Indy climbing up the cliff.
Yeah.
And he like walks towards them and he's like looking down.
Stood behind them, looking over with them like,
What are we looking at? So then like he goes, oh, my boy, I thought I lost you. It was a bit of a moment. I was like, oh, you know, you're crying, you know. And then he's like, why are you resting? We've got work to do.
You have a bit of a moment. They all fuck off. Indy sat down, knackered, and he's like, no time to rest. We've got to go.
Yeah, like, come on.
What?
So then you see the bad guys, and you see like this the cannon crescent moon, which is obviously in the shape of a moon.
Crescent canyon.
Yeah, like crescent moon wasn't really that exciting. They could have like a star shape next to it or something. I don't know. They could have made it a bit more impressive. So they're already there.
I mean, as far as canyons go, 6 out of 10.
Yeah,
could have been better.
Hasn't got a dick and balls stone near it.
There's no cockroaches in it. It's a shit canyon. Where's the cockroaches?
So you see them there and you think, oh, of course they're already there. But it goes down into the canyon. And obviously on horseback, there's Indy and his gang. It's like, oh, obviously they're pros. They got there first. No. They get into the place and basically the bad guys are already there and they're getting volunteers to go through the first challenge, which is like all cobwebby, and you get like a bit of gust of a, well, like this guy is creeping through it and then he shows you a body with no head. I'm like, oh my God, obviously going to lose your head. Then you like see all the cobwebs, a bit of like a breeze comes through. Actually, Joe, it weirdly made me think again, going a little bit back to Lord of the Rings, Joe in like the, what's the third one called?
Return of the King.
When he goes to see the ghost men, well, creepy. Or the big spider bit. Spider.
Spider.
Maybe I should lay off the Prosecco.
I thought it was just a Sean Connery impression.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Like my martini sugar not stirred.
It's a big spider. John Young, it's a big spider there. It's the worst impression of all time.
Yeah, my God, I might be out there with his Scottish accent. Or his Spanish when he was in...
Sean didn't do accents.
No, he didn't, because he was Sean Connery.
Yeah. You're about in Highlander.
Yeah.
He plays a Spaniard who works in Egypt. And he's got a Scottish accent.
It's amazing.
And the main character is Scottish and doesn't have a Scottish accent. Hang on, you could have swapped in two rounds.
So confused. So basically, the guy's creeping through. So he's a headless colleague or chum or whatever it was. You see a gust of wind and then this, like, big blade comes on, cuts his head off, and his head like rolls.
You don't see the blade yet, though, do you? You don't see.
Oh,
the
I thought you saw something, or was it his sword?
You just see the gust of wind, and then you just see his head roll backwards towards everyone.
And they're like, "Next volunteer!" Oh, I'd be jumping for the chance.
Oh, me!
Like, oh, I'd prefer to be legless as in drunk, but that'd be great. So of course, they then get found, and they get taken over to Donovan, and he's like, has a gun pointed to them, and Indy's like, well, what's the point of shooting me? He goes, oh, good point. Shoots his dad. Bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
And he's like, the only way you can get him, heal him, is by getting the Grail. So now he has no choice but to go and do these three tasks. So he's obviously got his dad's trusty diary. Whilst his dad's laying on the floor, he's like talking through the things as well.
Yeah.
So he has to be a penitent man to pass.
He does.
I was like, I have no idea what penitent means. They do describe it for you. So for anyone who's sitting and watching this film going, the fuck does that word even mean? It does tell you. So basically, it's a humble before God. So it's basically kneels before God. So he has to drop. So that does this dramatic drop and roll as like one blade goes over his head and then one comes underneath.
It's the roll that gets me. Like, he works it out. Kneel before God. Kneel. Blade comes out, misses his head. But he also kneels and then instantly rolls as another blade comes out from nowhere. And you're like, the kneeling, you explained, you worked that out.
Yeah.
Fine. Where did the roll come into it?
Yeah. How do you know?
How do you know that bit?
Kneel and roll.
Kneel and roll.
So he's like, I made it. And his dad's like, no, you haven't. I was so proud of myself on this bit.
You were proud of yourself.
So I was joking because I was thinking about Life of Brian, but it turns out Life of Brian taught me much. I think
more historically accurate than you thought.
So that's all done. Then he gets to the bit which is basically the footsteps of God, and you've got a paved, like loads of little bits that have got letters on it.
Oh, stones with writing on. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, I get to spell out the word of God. and
the name of God.
Name of God. It's Jehovah. Yeah. But in Latin, it starts with an I. So obviously, it steps on a J because he's a cocky shit.
Falls through it. Gets back up and then goes,
starts with an I. So it does that. So that's great. And then it's next one's taking a leap from the lion's head or something. So basically, like a leap of faith.
A leap of faith, yeah.
So he, like, this bit, I was like, I think I've got an idea of what it could be, but I'll be intrigued to see how they do it. So he, like, puts his leg out and then falls onto this rock, which when you look at it, like, direct on, you can't see.
So it looks like a massive chasm, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there, but it's perspective.
Yeah.
There's actually a walkway, but it, from where you're standing,
you can't see
it. It looks like the wall, the other side.
Yeah.
It's actually right in front of you, and you could just walk across.
I forgot to say as well, in the meantime, he's, like, stopping stuff from happening so Elsa and Donovan can get through. So he, like, chucks a bit of sand at the other end. He walks in, and there's a fucking knight there.
Just chilling.
I was like, God. He's been there for, like, 700 years. He tries to have a little fight with him, but then, like, falls over because he's...
He, like, swings his sword. He's like, well, that's me out.
I'm done.
Here's my sword. Kill me.
Yeah.
You take over. Like, no, you're all right.
So then, like... He says something to me, goes, oh, I haven't got time to explain. And Donovan and then Elsa come in, and there's like a shit ton of like cups.
Loads of them.
Different
Loads
shapes, them. Different types of metal, some bejeweled, some in like embossed or whatever. So there's like a little fountain or thing of urn of water. I don't know how we could
Looks
describe
like
it.
Looks like a font. From a church.
That's it, a font.
It?
That's the word I was looking yeah. for. With some water
like holy
in it.
Water.
And he says basically, you have to choose wisely of the cup because one will give you life and one will take away. So Elsa says to Donovan, I'll pick you one.
Yeah, I know what I'm
and
doing.
And the trusting twat is like, yeah, come on then.
The bloke whose main thing at the start of the film was don't trust anyone immediately.
Because I honestly
minute
thought.
You trust someone.
I thought he was going to make her drink it because that's what I thought. Surely he's not going to drink that. That's yeah. ridiculous. So she gives him like this kind of bejeweled one. He goes, oh, of course, this would be the Holy Grail, bejeweled and beautiful. So he like dips it into the font, drinks it, fine for a minute, then obviously dies. And it's like, he's like aging really quickly.
He like grabs hold of her. Yeah. He's like right in her face screaming. He goes behind him. He says hair will grow out and grow white.
And then he like,
then
yeah.
He just basically decomposes in front of her face. And
she's like, meh. Whoa. I was like, do you know what? I still don't care about you.
Literally
don't care.
It should have been you.
Oh, brilliant. So then he says basically he'll choose one. And he goes, this looks like the cup of a carpenter. And then I thought about it. I was like, obviously, yeah, of course. It's like this really plain, I don't know what kind of, if it's metal
just
or like wood
cup.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a plain cup. Right, now this bit made me die. Because I'd still be a bit tentative. But he, like, scoops it up.
Straight in there,
just
he?
Drinks it. It's going all over his like, front. Like I'm like, mate, it. You look like a pig. Like, chill out.
All right, fucking thirsty, aren't we?
Jesus.
Long day, is it?
So, yeah, so he drinks it all over himself. And then, obviously, nothing happens. Happy days. And then the 700-year-old knight who has guarded those cups for the whole time is like, don't take it past the seal.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
The seal outside. Just don't. Go past that, you'd be all right.
Yeah. So he gets a cup of water, runs back through again, and gives it to his dad. Dad, absolutely fine.
Pulls it on his gut
wound,
and it washes away,
yeah.
doesn't it? And
so
he's healed.
All fine.
Loads
then
better.
The cup rolls away, and then Elsa grabs it, and she's like, we've got it. We've got it, Indy. We've done it. And he's like, Elsa, no, don't take it past the seal.
Obviously
he does. So the whole place starts crumbling, and then you see old knight in the corner, and he's just stood there watching... what he's lived in for 700 years, crumble away in front of his eyes. Obviously, you've got the whole cup rolling away. She's sliding around to try and get it.
The ground opens up. Yeah.
So he goes to grab her and she's still trying to reach the cup. He's like, let it go, let it go. Obviously, she can't. Her glove slides off. Down she falls into some sort of pit.
Just a pit of nothing.
Yeah. Goner. I'm like, meh, you know, whatever. They're your life choices.
He kind of deserved that.
So then Indy slides down, and so his dad tries to get him, and he said, like, I can get it, I can reach
the
cup. I was like,
thing.
You've just fucking yeah. watched her die.
What are you on about?
Leave the cup alone.
He's
and he's
Junior,
like,
let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
That is so loud.
I'm sorry. and probably really flat. You're welcome. So yeah, that's it basically.
What can I say except you're welcome.
The eyes I pulled from the sea. anyways, yeah, so that's that. So the plane disappears, the knight does some weird salute thing, and that's that. So they all get out, and then they're sort of like chatting around chatting, aren't they? And this is when you find out about his name. So he's
Henry Jones Jr. Because the guy says, what's with all the junior stuff?
Yeah.
That's his name, Henry Jones Jr.
But he's basically, he said, I preferred Indiana.
I prefer Indiana. And Sean Connery says, Indiana was the dog.
Yeah.
That's what we call
and so
the
they
dog.
All laugh.
And they were laughing. You're named after a dog.
Then they literally ride off into sunset.
Literally ride off, yeah.
Yeah.
The useless guy goes first by accident.
Yeah. And then you see like Indy doing his dramatic riding off. Boo-ba-doo-boo, boo-ba-doo-doo.
It's a great bit of music.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Fantastic.
And that's that.
What a film.
I actually really enjoyed it, apart from the really long tank bit, which I got a bit bored of.
Yeah.
Like you said, it really is like a Sunday afternoon film. A
proper Sunday film, isn't it?
Where you just sit there and you haven't really got, unlike me this time, I have to pay attention to it. You haven't really got to pay attention. You
it's
can
not
just
a great
sort of enjoy
deal of plot,
it, no.
is it. It's the Holy Grail. That's
I
it.
Do think Sean Connery and Harrison Ford were a good combo.
Yeah,
I did really enjoy them.
Great team.
They worked really well and they were hilarious and actually kind of believable as father and son. Like I felt like it was quite, you know, quite good. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
I was considering a 5 because I did really enjoy it, but I thought actually, Joe, realistically, I'm never going to watch it again. Unlike like Nightmare on Elm Street, I will watch that again. With this one, I think it'd be more likely when the boys are bigger and I have to sit there and watch it with them, I'll probably watch it again. But
yeah,
I'm not...
Rite of Passage.
Yeah,
Indiana
I'm not...
The Jones films. Yeah. The first ones. Not the weird one with the aliens.
I don't think I've ever seen that one. Don't
you
watch that.
Much.
I'm not watching that
Let's
one.
Let's get Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, the new... Oh,
yeah.
Everybody run from Shia LaBeouf. It's a really singy one. We should call this the musical episode. So yeah, I think my one word review for it would be jovial.
Jovial. I like that. That's a good word.
Yeah. Jehovah.
Jehovah.
So what's happening next one then?
I'm going to let you pick.
Let me pick?
Sort of.
Okay.
From a selection.
Okay.
So either a Western or a Keanu Reeves film. That's your first choice. You got to make.
Oh, what now?
Yeah. Right now.
Keanu Reeves.
Right. Now you got to pick from two Keanu Reeves films that I know you ain't seen.
Okay.
You can go young Keanu and watch Speed.
Ooh.
Or we could go old Keanu and watch John Wick.
Oh my God, John Wick. I've heard such good things about John Wick.
Literally just saying about you found the action bit boring and now we're going to watch an action film.
But it's Keanu Reeves. I love him. I absolutely love him.
I reckon I'm going to go out on a limb and say, John Wick, you'll give 5 out of 5.
I probably will, just because I absolutely love Keanu Reeves. Like, the film was shit, but I love him.
It's definitely not shit.
Oh, no, amazing. Yeah, definitely. Okay, there we go then, guys. We've got a little Keanu number.
John Wick.
Awesome sauce.
2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time. So, yeah, so everyone... I hope lockdown 2 in the UK is treating you well. American listeners, enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'm so jealous you're going to be having pumpkin pie. So if you want to get in touch with us, it's via Instagram. It's Hayley_watches. We're also on Facebook now.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want to find us on Facebook, it's just Hayley Watches. And you can contact us via email on HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. If you can give us a review and any ratings, whatever you do on anything you listen to, that would be greatly appreciated.
Follows, ratings, reviews.
Whole shebang.
All that jazz.
Would be amazing. And this will be ta-ta for now. Until next time.
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.